The scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis, the second chapter, and it's verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
I just also we need to keep Jeannie Wisco in our prayers. Walt said that she's home with the flu, so please keep her also in your prayers that it will pass quickly and Walt won't get it. I'd say it's hard to find in a home and a family where you cannot find some handmade gifts. Now, they can include cards and notes and even art. Things made by a child's hand, whether at home or in school, have enormous value. Oftentimes, we proudly display those things on our refrigerators. Why? Why is something that is handmade so special? Why do we cherish them so much? Because someone took the time to make it for you. David wrote in the 8th Psalm in verses 3 and 4, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" In Genesis, the first chapter and first verse, we read, "In God, in the beginning, God created." And we read, "And for 6 days, God created. God said, let there be light, and it appeared. And by God's word, light shined in darkness." Can you imagine what it might have been like during the days of creation to watch how things came into existence that never existed? How God created. The Bible doesn't tell, except for really one part of the creation. It just tells us that he spoke. But the account of man is given in a lot more detail. A lot more detail than any other part of creation. The account of man is given in the second chapter of Genesis. It is that part of the creation that I want to speak of this morning. You know, sometimes we talk about average people. But have you ever wondered what is an average person? Now, we have average height, we have average weight, but what is an average person? We are more than just the sum of body parts. We are more than arms and legs and torso and head. We're special. And we were created special. We look at the creation of Adam and Eve. That when God created the sun and the moon and the rocks and the trees and the birds and the fish and the animals, he waited until the very end. And then we read how we came into existence. Let's go back to verse 7 that Charles read in Genesis 2. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Some versions, as Charles read, said being. The King James uses the word soul. God, the creator of the universe, Maybe he took on some form. And from the dust of the ground, he created Adam. And if that doesn't make you think that you're special, Moses reminds us that God breathed into us the very breath of life. Why doesn't he say that about the birds and the animals? They all breathe. But for us, we are told that we were given the breath of life. Now think about that. God breathed in his breath into Adam. And God had formed him from the ground, breathed into Adam's nostrils, and Adam became a living being. This last action, giving Adam a soul. That's not the point in Genesis chapter 2. The idea presented here is for us to see the delicate action that God himself takes into bringing man to life. We have value and purpose and meaning, and God continues to see us as valuable. David wrote in the 139th Psalm in verse 14 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We get an overview in Genesis 1 of man's creation. In verses 26 and 27, it said, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Made in the image of God. That distinguishes us from everything else on the face of the earth. Jesus gave us a commentary on how much God values us above all other of his creation in Matthew 6. In verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought of your life, of what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap not, nor gather into barns, and yet your Father, Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" You know, people like to talk about evolution and the process that one person said, from the goo to the zoo to you. When I read of the creation of man in Genesis chapter 2, when I see in those words God making man after his own image, where I see it written where God breathed life into man, cannot help but feel that that makes us pretty special. When God created man, he did so by giving man a purpose. He placed Adam in a garden. And when you read of the account, it had to have been a very beautiful and wonderful garden. In verses 15 through 17, Moses puts this way in Genesis chapter 2. "And the Lord God took man, he put him into the garden of Eden, to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." There's a lot of people that would love to have a garden. A lot of people like the idea of gardening, of seeing the rows of vegetables growing and then harvesting them, and then enjoying and eating the fresh food from their garden. It's great. And yet we know that since the fall of man, maintaining a garden is not easy. It takes a lot. There's the weeding that has to be done. There are the critters that have to be removed and the insects that have to be eradicated from eating the fruits of your labor. Now, I realize that Adam was not in a vegetable garden. I want us to all, you all to understand that I know that. But my point is that God placed him there for a purpose. The purpose was to tend the garden that God created for him. And Adam began to do what God created him to do. But in the garden there were two trees. And God specifically told Adam what he was to do and what he was not to do. Adam was to tend to the garden, but he was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam was not created to fail. There was no design flaw in God's creation of man. Adam decided if he was going to do what he was created to do or not. And we are no different. God created us in our recreation. God created us in our spiritual creation. God has given each of us a purpose. Our purpose is to glorify him. We do that by being a light to the world, by keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. We do that by living out our design. I ask myself if I believe that I am God's creation, and the answer is yes. I ask myself if I believe that God has given me a purpose, and again, my answer is yes. And I ask myself if I understand the purpose is to glorify him, and again, the answer is yes. Now, will I do it? Will I tend my garden where God has placed me? You know, I can understand why people do things the way they do things. Human beings, since the creation, are doing much in the pursuit of significance. But in the light of this passage, our significance comes as we accept who we are in God. My significance to other human beings is insignificant. My significance to God is what is significant. God created us by his own hand, and we do matter. True story. A man by the name of Al Braca. He was a corporate bond trader for Cantor Fitzgerald in New York. He didn't really like his job because he felt it was out of touch with his Christian values. But he believed that God placed him there to be a light in the darkness of the financial world. Some of his co-workers mocked him for his beliefs. But when there was a personal problem, many came to him privately and he prayed for them. See, Al worked on the 105th floor of Tower 1 of the World Trade Center. And he was at work on that fateful day of September 1, September 11, 2001. Al's body was one of the many that were found in the rubble. But reports began to trickle in that some people on the 105th floor made a last call or sent a last message telling their loved ones that a man was leading people in prayer. In an article, it stated that when Al realized that they were all trapped and would not be able to escape, he led 50 people in prayer right up to the very end. Al believed that he was important to God. He believed that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. Al lived like it. Will you? Will you live like you are important to the one who formed you, the one who gave you life, the one who placed you exactly right where you need to be? Maybe he placed you in the middle of family troubles to be the calming effect on the family. Maybe he placed you in your place of business to show others the light. When we live like it, when we live like we are important to God, when we remember that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we can understand how important we are to God. Are you on a journey this morning? Are you looking for a way to fit in? If we can help you on God's journey in accepting and obeying the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be able to guide you to that moment in your life to where you can be forgiven of all your sins through baptism, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. Or maybe you need our prayers. Maybe you're facing some adversity in your life and you could be encouraged by prayers. Maybe you just need to get some things off your chest and make things right with God, but you need to do it in a public way. Whatever your need is this morning, we pray that you will come as together we stand and sing our song of invitation.